Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Rest in peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise to the Most High God of Israel. I want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of the Bible of Job Israel of the Chief Ministry and Commonwealth of Israel by the study class. Also tonight, man, tonight, we're dealing with something that, well, it's not really complicated if you look at it. You know, when you look at it for what it is, it's really not that complicated, but it's a beautiful thing that the Lord is doing with his Sabbath. It's a beautiful thing that he's doing with his Sabbath. What do you mean with his Sabbath? You know, there's a story within itself. You know, we got the regular Sabbath day that appears every day, every end of the week. That's a story in itself. That's a promise. And you got to excuse my computer's really wonderful. So, I'm not clear. Anyway, let's see. Okay, here we go. There it is. And then we got, you know, his feast day that comes up in Leviticus chapter 23. And those days, man, they are prophetic in themselves. What do you mean? Well, you got the weekly Sabbath, man, and that one pointing towards the first resurrection. Oh my God, when you look at all these feasts, they are one and the same, but this particular feast right here, the Pentecost, the atonement and the trumpets and the jubilee is one. It's like one conversation. It's like one conversation. And, you know, when you read the stories, man, when you read about the Pentecost, you read about the jubilee, and then you read about the trumpets and the atonement, that you see they all testifying of each other. And that's that thing. You see, so God is, amen. So God is speaking to us through his feast days. Prophecy through the feast days. And I'm talking about these particular ones. I mean, when you look at these in particular, the Feast of Weeks, the Memorial of Trumpets, and the Atonement, and the Jubilee is one, then that's a real conversation, man, because I don't hear many people talking about all of these Sabbaths having one conversation. They have one prophecy, and they all, it's all just one conversation when you think about it. And everything that's going on in it, it's simultaneous. Even though these feast days are separated in time, these things are taking place simultaneous. How is that? How is that? How is the Feast of Weeks, which is the last feast of the first harvest, the summer harvest, the first fruits? That's the last feast of the first fruits, right? Of summer. Then here come the trumpets, which is an absolute winter feast. And the atonement. In a jubilee. And a jubilee isn't even a winter feast. It's both summer and winter. How is that? Because that's when God brings time together. That's when God brings immortality to the earth on the jubilee. That's when time meets everlasting. That's on the jubilee. That's simultaneous. All these things have to take place at the same time. What to happen. For whatever reason, that's the way he set it up. So let's get into this. First we're gonna pray, and we're gonna ask our brothers and sisters, man, if you can stand and face Jerusalem. And our brothers, we ask you if you can uncover your head. And the sisters, if you can, cover your heads as we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on those that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy. Send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive it, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and send forth your Holy Spirit on them as well, and give them also a mind to proceed and ask to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercy is endured forever. Amen. So, once again, we'll welcome everyone again to the Sounds of the Water Standing Up, Kingdom of Israel. And, we're going to start this in Leviticus chapter 1. And Leviticus 1 and 1. Leviticus 23 and 1. Okay. Leviticus 23. I'll just close up the sequence. All over the place earlier. Leviticus 23 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. So, all of these are his feast days, including the Sabbath. And we like to point these things out But then there are certain feasts that we tend to overlook, like slave offering, and it's mentioned as a feast. Can you tell us to keep it? Well, anyway, the wave offering is a power word of Pentecost, because without the wave offering, there is no first resurrection. That is to say, the first fruits, because the wave offering didn't make it past the first fruits. Well, this is Christ. He was waved before God. That's why he said, touch me not, for I have not ascended unto my Father. So he had told Mary. And that was the wave offering. That was the first day of the week, the first Sabbath, the first day of the week during the Sabbath. All right? It has to be like it's Sunday. It's the Sunday, first Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. That's how you would look at that. You know, you got to say the Passover is Wednesday, right? Or say the Passover is Thursday, right? Say the Passover is Friday. It's still going to be that Sunday. The wave off can supersede the 15th day, hands down, because it points to a Christ resurrection. Hands down. That 15th day ain't got nothing on the wave off, nothing at all. He was accepted. He did it. He woke up out the ground. Forget about it. Wave off and trumpet every time. So if the Passover is Saturday, wave off in the Sunday. Doesn't matter. Still going to trumpet. I mean, you can celebrate both of them. You can celebrate both the 15th day, but it's going to be the wave offering no matter what. And get around it, because the law said first Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. Then after that, you got the Pentecost. The wave offering, he said, you should count 50 days from here. You gotta have a wave offering. How are we going to ignore that conversation? How are we going to ignore that feast? Maybe that's why, you know, we be tripping in the time windows that's written in the law, because we're ignoring it. But it is that, and it kicks off the Pentecost, which is the first Sunday of the week of unleavened bread. Let's read that. Let's skip down to verse 11. Now let's pick it up in 9. And it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Ye shall bring the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. That's Jesus. And that priest is a Melchizedek. Remember, he's Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God. That's him. That's his lineage. That's what he is. He's not a human being. He's not an alien. He's a Chesedek. That's what he is. And Christ is a Chesedek now. He was changed in it. So he got that body. Anyway, he's the first fruit, right? So you bring him to the Father. So remember now, he said he had to be weighed. He said, touch me not, because I have yet to be accepted of my Father. But you go tell my brothers that I'm going, you know, going to present myself. But here he is. Watch this. And 11, and you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, the Father, be accepted for you. See, there you go. And he said, to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. See, hands down. See that? You can't get around that. It don't say nothing about it. This trump, that 15. If the wave offering following that Sunday, that's it. If it's in that week on that day, it can't be nothing. That's the law. 11. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wait. Can't get around it. That's Jesus. And then too, it said it's a feast day. How do you miss this? This conversation, we missed this. Almost deliberately, just to justify that we actually darkening our own eyes to this conversation, like intentionally. Who would do such a thing? God forbid that anybody would do anything like that deliberately. But this is a great, you gotta listen to this. And it says, and you shall offer that day, wave offer, you shall wave the sheaf of the lamb without blemish. See, that's Jesus. We always talk about the Passover being without blemish, but here he is in the wave offering, because he has to be accepted of us. He has to be without blemish. He had to be accepted. That's why he had to be waved. You see? So he had to be without blemish. This is Jesus. 12 is Christ. It goes on. Of the first year of the birth, oh, see, why? Because it's in the month of Abib. He put up two. He put up just like the Passover. You see, the first year for the burnt offering unto the Lord. And a meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of mingled with oil, excuse me, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And a drink offering of wine and a pot of hay. Now, offering made of fire, why? Because his body was so marred, you know, that's that fire, man. He could have stopped that at any time. He didn't have to get to the cross. That burnt offering, that was him. Burnt offering, man, is when you resist sin or the flesh. And he resisted all the way to the end. He could have stopped that at any time. But he had to fulfill the law that he stepped on the serpent's head. He said he's going to bruise his heel. Man, if you ever stumped your foot on something, you knew it was painful. So what he went through was painful. This is burnt offering. But it's also a made by fire. This is him. And it goes on and said, you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn or green ears until the self-same day you have brought it an offering unto your... Yeah, and you get this conversation. Well, see, we ain't got the, you know, ain't no priest to bring it to. Why you take a tap? Okay, see, in that. Anyway, that's like saying we ain't got no church. It shall be a statue forever. Oh, in game. There it is. It's going to be a statue forever through your generations and your dwellings. You shall count on you from the morrow after the Sabbath seed. That's why he said it again. He repeated it again to Moses. Make sure he got it the first time. You shall count only you from the morrow after the Sabbath day. You shall that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. See, there go your Pentecost. From the wave offering. And somebody said, man, you got to hide 3 days and 3 nights. Ain't nothing in this Leviticus 23 that ever says that. You can't find that nowhere from Genesis to Deuteronomy. It's not in the law. You can't even find it in the prophets. Can't find them on there. Because it's a sign. That's all. It's a sign. But a sign don't change the law. The law will dictate the sign. That Jonah statement was a sign. This is the law. This is eternal. This is written from the foundation of everything. You can't get from this. It got to be like this, 100. See that? You got to count unto you tomorrow after the Sabbath during the week of unleavened bread. How are we going to offer the most holy of holy outside of the week of unleavened, because we're testifying that we're not taking part in you? But then we're going to offer Christ outside of that week, where he's the pinnacle of it, because he kicks it off. Man, we throw Christ to the side like it ain't nothing, right? Because we'll put the 15th day higher than the Passover. I be hearing cats, they like they'll take the 15th day off before they keep the Passover off. I heard people getting rid of their leavening on the 15th day. I'm like, oh my God. I heard people eating leavening after they took the Passover. Notice. No, you cannot eat leavening after the Passover. It's a wrap. None of that. You know how you'll testify your testimony to yourself. You know why? Because nowhere in your crib you're eating matzos right now. Nowhere. If a matzo is so far from your mind, please. But when the week of unleavened coming around, we're trying to have us some matzo crackers to make sure we can eat unleavened for the whole week. That's why we're testifying we're not of sin, because we're eating unleavened. So how is Christ going to be accepted outside of that? That don't even make any sense. But then if you're not looking at the wave offering, then I guess the holy offering, I guess they really that big a deal. So what, he died on the Passover? We're going to party on the 15th day. Ooh, wave offering, man. This is the Pentecost that's going down. Anyway, without the Passover or the wave offering, there's no Pentecost. Anyway, it goes on. Now watch this. See, here's the conjunction. Verse 15. You shall count only your morrow after the Sabbath from the day ye brought the sheep of the wave offering at the Sabbath. So that's a conjunction. How do we not miss that? It's something else being said here, according to 15. Then it says this, verse 16, even on the morrow after the Sabbath, after the seventh Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 weight loaves, 2 tenths deals. And they shall be a fine flour. They shall be baking with leavening. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. This is us. So without Christ being accepted, we are accepted. See? So you got to have a wave offering, man. How we miss that memo? All we on is the Passover? And then that's not a really big deal. It's the 15th day because you get so much. That ain't cool. That's not it. Passover, man. Remember now, he destroyed Egypt on the Passover. We left Egypt, man, on the 15th. We was gone on the 15th day. We was out of there. He destroyed Egypt on the Passover. And was nobody working? Dude, if you was outside, you was crazy. And you knew what was coming. You seen all that happen in Egypt. And you still didn't put no blood over your door. And you didn't keep that. I bet you 10-1 when it was here, they said it was in the house that there was not one dead in there. People was crying. They said they heard people crying all over the place. What you think you doing, partying? No, man. You're not even thinking about going out. You're not thinking about working. None of that. You're just praying. That's the Passover. Because you're hoping God pass over you. Who would be out there working on Passover? Moses kept the Passover. So, that, and then we got the wave offering, which is Christ. He's got to be accepted of us. That's why he went to heaven. And then we got the first fruits, which is us. The first fruit. So here it is. Let's listen to Paul pick up this conversation, right? So we can kind of bring everything together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That can happen. That can seriously happen. And it goes on. 3. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also receive, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, Passover. He was buried and rose again the third day, the Sabbath day, according to the scripture. See, he on the law, right? And was seen of Caius, Cephas, then the 12. After that, he was seen above 5 and other 12. That was on the first day of the week. He was seen of them. Watch this. Go to John chapter 20. Let me see. Yeah. John 20:1. The third day of the week coming, Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, so it got dark. This is the wave offering. This is the day he's going to be accepted. Why? Because he said this. She looked like she was about to get ready to run up on him. And he said up on her, touch me not. I'm not yet ascending unto my father. See, this is the wave off. He has to get accepted. But go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, to your Father, to my God, and your God. And watch this, 19. And being the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. See, that's the wave offer. That's Leviticus chapter 23 and 11. I told you that's stuff. Now watch this. Now, this kicks off this. Now watch this. He said, then he said, this is speaking Luke. He said it in Luke in... Okay, Luke 24, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, came unto the scepter to bring spices, which they have, see, there they go. So it's still the first day of the week. Now watch this. This kicks off the Pentecost. And let's see. And 44, he said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So this is it. He was telling, then open he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Not everybody get it. And I see that. I mean, you can hear the scripture. And don't get it. Just don't get it. That's possible. I see it with my own eye. I see it. It's possible. And that's somewhere we don't ever want to be. Anywhere deliberately breaking the law. Willfully. Presumptuously, we don't want to have that conversation. These are the things concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Says unto them, thus it is written. Okay, good. So he said, yeah, I'm going to read this. He said, thus beloved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. Boom, there it is, right? So this is the first day. But he rose on the third day, and he was accepted of the Father on the first day of the week, like the law said, that was prophesied in Daniel, that he died in the midst of the week, 3 days and three nights, like Jonah said. He brought us to the Sabbath day like he rose. And now here we are on the wave offering. And look what he said in 41. While they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, happy. Oh, it's a feast. So they gave him a piece of bread, piece of broiled fish, and a honeycomb. He took it and he did eat. So it's a feast. But... listen. Anyway, let's get back to that Corinthians, right? So Corinthians is 15, and what do we leave off? 3. For I deliver unto you the first of all that which also received how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Just read. And we're seeing Cephas and the 12, as we read in John 20 and Luke 24, and that's the first day with the wave off, and that's when they seen them. And then after that, we're seeing above 500, this is the Pentecost. They said, of the greater part, remain unto this present, some are falling asleep. And after that, we're seeing the James, the then of all the apostles, last of all, seen to me also as one born out of due time. Why? Because the first resurrection hadn't taken place yet. The wave offering being. The first resurrection is coming. He was one born out of due time. What? The Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. That's when the first resurrection takes place. That's due time. What do you mean due time? That's written in the law that it's going to happen, that it's going to be a resurrection of the first fruits. There it is. Because he's a witness that the first fruit has rose because he's the wave offer. Period. 15:17, after that, seen of James and of the apostles, last of all, seen of me is one born out of due time. I am the least of the apostles, therefore it is not me to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. Ah, wow. Yeah. For I am least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. See, you know, what your opinion is nothing. You know, it is what it is. You can't do nothing about that ordination. What you call that ordination? It's just the way it is. It's written in heaven, born from the womb. Ain't nothing you can do. Can't take it. Can't put the light out. Can't do nothing. All you can do is throw yourself closer and closer to the lake by trying to do something like that. Because that's what people did to the prophets. You don't want that. You don't want this conversation. But here it is. He said, I'm the least. And they tried to kill him. They beat him up and they, you know, threw him in a den. He was in a boat crash. Paul been through it. But he went around the world preaching the gospel. So this conversation, sometimes, man, you know, hey, you know, you say you want to bear your cross, but this is bearing your cross. You know, that's getting up there on it, because that's what happened with Jesus, man. The world is going to try to kill you. They don't hate you for nothing. All because they see the light of God on you. They want you to see how much they hate God. That's between them and God. That's nothing. This is it. It says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we creep, so ye believe. See? It wasn't us. It's it. It's the Spirit. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from, the dead, first fruits, how say some among you, there's no resurrection of the dead? We're not even talking about the wave off. We do talk about the resurrection. But we're not talking about the wave offering in conjunction with the resurrection. Because without the wave offering, there is no resurrection. Period. And then it says this. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. If the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. He didn't say Christ never existed. He just said he didn't rise from the dead. So it's a fact that he walked this earth. It's a fact that God was on this planet. It's a fact that a Chesedek actually lived among us. 15 and 16. If the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's Moses. That's Adam. That's Abraham. All of them gone, man. No hope for the resurrection. No hope for coming up looking like this. See? They all just out of time. You know? I was watching The Watchmen. The Watchmen, this new series and whatnot. And Regina King is in it. She was married to the scientist that got turned into this nuclear thing, and he was able to go in and out of dimensions and things like that. And he said, there's no heaven. That's what he taught his children. He said, that's just it. When you die, it's over. That's not true. I said, oh, that's what they teach in the world? Okay. They teach in the world to just go ahead on and do whatever you're going to do. When you die, it's the end of it. But here, we read in the Bible, oh, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of the flesh. See, that's the wave off in verse 20. Why is it? If you went into this 20. It says, 15 and 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Wave off. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. See? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the first fruit. If you believe in Christ, you're going to get the resurrection. That's it. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after they that are Christ at his coming. See, Christ is the wave offering, and here comes the Pentecost. Boom. And they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. So you got to see, he's telling, now he's giving us a time window. We just picked up the first fruits in the Pentecost in the end. He just gave you a time window. He just peeked right there. Now watch this. He said, then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. This is the Pentecost. This is the Jubilee. He's speaking on now because this is when this takes place on the Jubilee. We're going to read that. It says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. This is, you know, the Jubilee going into the Sabbath day. You know, the Jubilee is going to be the last day of the century, the last day of the 50th year. Like he said, 50. It's the 50th day or the 50th year, right? Then it's the 100th year. It's the last day of the century. It's the last one. Then you go into another, right? So it's going to be the last day in time as we know it because he's going to bring everlasting with him on the Jubilee. He's coming with the saints. So it got to coexist. So he's going to change the elements and make that happen. This is on the Jubilee. For he must reign until he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. See, that was the first fruits. That's the resurrection. That's the Pentecost. That's the Feast of Weeks. This is why we're keeping it. Then here come the tabernacle. Then he go into the tabernacle. He said, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him, and when all things are subdued by him, see, this is still during the 1,000 years, then after the 1,000 years, Satan is loose, boom, then all things will be subdued under him, right? See, that's the eighth day of the week, or the first day of the week, however you want to look at. Those of us that can't see them things, well, we hope God will bring them out to you. But anyway, the first day of the week is the eighth day because it comes after the seventh. Plain and simple. You know, we're still in our first week, people. We on the sixth day at the end of it coming up. You know, the when he come back, I'm going to tell you, we're living in the time of that Jubilee. I say that. I don't know when it is. I don't know when the Jubilee kicks in. But I'm saying we are young enough to live within the Jubilee window. Put it like that. Now, it says, when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Watch this. Then the question was asked, right? But in 35, he said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? And then he called them a fool. He said, thou fool. That, because some people, like that dude on the watchman, according to this scripture, he called him a fool. He called, of all that science and wisdom and all that drama, the end, he's a fool before God. And he said, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, so is not that body that there shall be, but bare grain, and may chance of wheat or some other grain. Body, right? You sow a seed and a plant come out, right? But God gives it a body as it please tell me, every seed its own body. So you're going to get a body. She's going to get a body. He's going to get a body. She's going to get a body. Like his, right? Then he said, verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, spiritual, and the glory of the terrestrial is another, physical. That's us. us, right? We're terrain or terrestrial because we're created from the earth. But the fire or the eternal flame that's keeping us going, that keeps us at 98.6, is that celestial, right? It's going to take over. And you gotta feed that fire. You know, you got to throw some coals on it. Or it's going to go out. It's going to go dark. Won't that? So anyway, say there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the star. So one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. See, you know, we all gonna have different glows on our auras. You know, I mean, you're gonna actually see our aura. Yeah, you're gonna actually see that you're not exactly both. It's not gonna be two lavenders ever. You may be a light, who knows? But there's light rays that's within our own spectrum that we can't see. We'll be able to see them at that time. Look, right now we in total darkness. You know, I mean, we got the sun and we can see that and all that, but we have yet to be exposed to the light. We haven't been exposed to light. What do you mean? You could take a ruby, right? Take a ruby. Just wrap your mind around this. Take a ruby, run a flashlight through it, and you turn off all the lights, you run a flashlight through this, it gives you all these different glories, right? Okay. Well, even in that ruby is in darkness. The only way that ruby is going to shine is through the light of God. That's when you will see that, that's what that ruby really looked like, when his glory shines through it. That's what he said. We're going to look like that. His glory is going to shine through us, and our aura is going to explode on the planet. So is the resurrection of the dead. Now you're the first fruits, right? Now watch this. Watch this. What happened to the first fruit, right? It says in verse 15, now this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Flesh is done away with. And there's no more issues of blood. So women don't have periods anymore. That's old. All this is on the eighth day. Whoops, did I throw that in there? It's there. And anyway, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do corruption and incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We should all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There's another time window. Right? Remember now, we got time windows here. We got a trump here, right? We got the resurrection of the dead, right? We got the first fruits, the Pentecost, right? Here go the trumpets. You see that? He just, Paul was giving it to us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be saved. First resurrection. When? At the last trump. That's why the memorial of the blowing of the trumpet is simultaneous with the atonement. Oh, my God. How is that? How is that? How do you get the Pentecost simultaneous with the trumpets? That's two different seasons all together. We're talking about time, people. How you get all this in one conversation? You just boom and just put it all together. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ arise incorruptible, and we shall be saved. That's the last trump. What is the last trump? We gotta look at that, right? What is the last trump? Revelation chapter 8, all right? Revelation chapter 8, and verse 1. It says this, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So we know it's not the eighth trumpet that was the last one. Obviously, when he said at the last trump, he was talking about this, number seven, you see. Where we pick this conversation up at? Go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6 and 6. Joshua, which is named Jesus, get over yourself. Joshua, the son of Nun, called a priest. Why? Because he is. And said unto them, he called a priest, right? Take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn, not so words, not the show, not the big. Not the big bull horn, but a ram's horn, the new one. He said, the trumpet of ram's horn before the Ark of the Covenant. There it is. Seven trumpets. Brought it up. See, that's what Revelation chapter 8 testifying that this is going to be Christ. Right? Now watch this and look at the commandment he gave. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it. All that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were with her, that were sent. And ye, and anyways, keeping yourself from their curse thing. Okay, well, we're going to that. We're picking up too much information. It's a whole other conversation. And so, it is seven. Yep, I passed it. Because I wanted to read this piece. I want to really pay attention to what he says. And let's see. Just commanded people to show. And I said, oh man, I want y'all to see this. You really got to see this. Let's see. Okay. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner seven times, and only on that day compassed the city seven times. Again, blowing the ram's horns seven times, right? And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord had given it unto you. Now, what is he talking about here? Watch this. This is the trumpet that he's going to blow, right? This thing, man, the whole world is going to hear it. Yeah, Exodus 19:16. And it said, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there was thundering and lightning. See, this is how he's coming back, like this, right? So all this is going to be like at the same time, thunder and thick clouds upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet sound exceeding loud that all the people that were in the crowd tremble. So the whole world is going to be in trouble, man, because the whole world is going to hear this trumpet blow. It's coming from God. This is the one that he's talking about. I ain't saying this is the seventh trump. That can't be the seventh trump. I'm saying it's going to sound like this. That it's going to make the whole world is going to be afraid. Because they know it, only this is coming from God. So he said, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. See, that was the first resurrection. Why? Because without the law of Moses, you're not going to see God. Without the wave offering, which was given to Moses and Levi, you're not going to see God. Levi, when you look at his name, it means, now God joined me. What do you mean? Levi brings people to God. That's what he do. Levi brought Jesus to God. That was John and John, who was a Levite, brought him to God. That's what Levites do. So anyway, so he brought the people. So he says, what was that? And he said, He said, it came to pass on the third day in the morning. See, this is what was getting at the sound, right? And then he says this, and I just trying to get, you know, this what we getting at with this here trumpet and the way it sounded and the way it's going to sound when he comes, the seventh one when it blow. Because he said when it happens, the whole earth is going to be afraid, right? So this is how it's going to go down. 19 and 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounds low, no, 18. Let me read 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. This is the first resurrection. And they stood at neither part of the mount. So this is the first resurrection. Moses bringing the people out to meet God. Boom. This is, you know, that ascension and God come from heaven and you meet God in the air. This is this conversation because you're going to have it again. Watch this. And Mount Sinai was all together on the smoke because the Lord descended it upon it in fire. So God is coming back on fire. This is why he said the earth, that's why he's going to burn people up. And he said flesh is going to fall off their body because that's what men do. They melt. Right. He said, but while they're standing up, they're going to be melting. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, in the smoke thereof, ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sound low and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. See, that's it. And the voice of the trumpet sound low and waxed louder and louder. It's not going to be like a blast. It's going to be a long, loud blast. It's going to blow out every window. It's going to blow down buildings. It's going to be shutting it down. That's what it's going to do. You see? Amen. So, and he said, now watch this. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. He just came from heaven, or he's from eternity. On the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of, now the trumpet is blowing. Now, he called Moses to come up while the trumpet was, that's the trumpet, that's the first resurrection, that's the Pentecost, and the trumpet's one right here. But how do the Jubilee and the Atonement fit in here? You see? That's that conversation. We can see the Jubilee and the trumpets meeting together here, but how do the Pentecost, the atonement and the Jubilee fit in this conversation, right? Listen at this. He said, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, versus the rest. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, you say breakthrough unto the Lord and to gain. And many of them perished. So let the priest also not see. He's Melchizedek. He's talking to the priest. And let the priest. Everybody is a priest. That's just the way it is. You just got to get over yourself. It says, and let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, at least the Lord bring forth upon them. So there it is. So he's calling the priest up, right? And he called Moses up. This is the first resurrection. This is the priesthood. Watch this. So Revelation chapter 1:6. And it says this, it has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. See? When? Right? When that's going to take place? Verse 5 and verse 9 and 10. Revelation 5 and verse 9. It says this. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, not heaven." So where this conversation comes from? When is this going to take place? Right? Remember now, we're talking about the Pentecost, which is the first fruit, right? This is the first fruit. Has made us, because everybody can't be a priest. That's why he separated them in Exodus, chapter 19. Everybody can't be a priest. It's going, that's the very elect. It's just that simple. Verse chapter 20 and 1, right? And it says this, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. No, forgive me. I'm going to read to 7:21. Then we're going to go back up. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and lay hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay, this is the end of, no, I got to read the 11. Because this is the end of the seventh day. So the Jubilee is over. That was the end of that century, that millennium, whatever you want to call it. That was the last day of it. That's what the Jubilee represents, the last day of that century or that millennium. It's the last day. It's a change of time. You go to one, right? So and then you start over and you count 50 years again. But this is this. So it says, and he was laid out, he was bound him 1,000 years, which is 20 jubilees in 1,000 years, right? So fair. Anyway, cast him to a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, not a second before. See that? You got some of us teaching that he's going to be out before the 1,000 years. He going to pollute the Sabbath. God is going to let him pollute the thing that he blessed from the foundation of the creation. No way, Jose. Not going to happen. Anyway, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, first fruits. Yeah. Christ is already risen. So this is when he said he made, this is the first resurrection. What happens? Blessed is holy to that part of the first resurrection. On such a second death, I have no power. See, this is that thing when he gives you all power. The light of God, he gives you his body and all that stuff, and you get your old armor, all that good stuff. Anyway, say, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such a second death, have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See? They're going to be priests. They're going to meet God in the air on the seventh trump. Right? In the seventh trump, in the seventh month. What? Watch this. And it says 11. Revelation 11 in verse 1. And it says, now watch how you count this out. Watch how you count this out. It says this, and there was given me like a reed unto God, and the angel stood unto me, said, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar of them that worship therein, and them that worship therein. But the court is without the temple, leave out, measure not. It's given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city, they shall tread it underfoot 40 and 2 months. This is how you count a jubilee. This is how you count a half a year. Because he said, let seven trumpets be blown. So you got to count what he count as a half a year or a year. Because that's how you come up with the jubilee. Watch this. Pay very careful. Pay very close attention. In fact, here's the thing, right? Get your calculators. Take your phone and get your calculators. And watch this. Let's just go Let's do this. Because he actually going to do the math for us. All we got to do is pay attention to the conversation. So we put 42, right, divided by what? And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days at cloven sackcloth. So three, a score is 20. So he said three score days, so that's 1,260 days. So divided by 1,260, let me do that again. Take 1,260, right, divided by 42 equals 30. That's a month. Now, how do you know this is a month? Well, you go 30 times 6, 180. You got, in order for you to have a half a year before God, you got to have exactly 30 days, 6 times. So how can I explain that? 6 times 30, right? Equals 180, so you got to count 180 days for you to have a half a year. Well, how is that? How do you know that a half a year is 80 days? Because some of us is following the moon. That kind of messed with that wave of thing too, because you missed them 3 days, right? So watch this. So let's do that. How do we testify? Let's see, 180. Let's do this. All right, 180. Divided by equals 6 months. You got to have 180 days completed before you go to the 7th month. And then you count 1. So that would be 181 from Abib. That's exactly how many days it takes to get to the trumpets. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing with this 180 here. Watch this. Okay, so let's do this. 1260, right? Let's see. Let's take 3.5 divided by 1260. No. Let's take 1260 divided by 3.5 because that's 3.5 years, right? 3.5 is 3.5 years, so that brings us to what? 360. So a year to God is 360 days. So divide that, because that's 12 months, right? So let's divide this by 30. Divided by 30. 12. See that? 12. 12 months, right? 12 times 30. 360. That's a perfect cycle. That's why you got winter and summer. That kills the earth is flat because you wouldn't have seasons. It is just time to just run. The sun would never come back around. It'll just keep going. You'll be in perpetual darkness. Who believes? I mean, come on, man. Really? Anyway, so the earth is 360. Time is 360. We're surrounded in time. 360. There it is. Every year you're going to have 360. I know the 365 pop up, but when you break it down, it's still 360. Every 4 years, it comes back to this. It's going to end up 360. Every 4 years, it breaks it back down. Anyway, so you take this 360 and divide it by 2. 180. See that? 180 divided by 6. 30. 30 times 12 equals 360. See that? He did the math for us. We can't get around it. Okay, so now let's take this 360, which what you know now is a year, according to Revelation 11 here, and it says times, because that would be 50 years. How much would that be? 18,000 days. You get rid of that, those zeros, and you got 1.8. A half of what? Century. Right? That's a jubilee. This is one jubilee. 18,000 days, which is coexisting with a yearly calendar of 180 days being a half a year. See that? Same conversation. But this is a jubilee. Watch this. Times 2. 18,000, because this is 50, so you say times 2, which would be 100, which would be a complete cycle, which brings you to 36,000 days or 360. Every century, it resets. See how you count it? Right? Because we're going to read this. This is important. We got to know what a jubilee is because you said you got to count them. So we see here is 36,000 days, right? So that's a testimony that a year to God is 360. So you can't go wrong because he just told you that a jubilee, two jubilees add up to a half of a year, and then you multiply by two and you come up with 360. All over again, complete cycle. Every century is a complete cycle, right? But now you got a number this time, 50, right? So let's do this. Let's take 50. No, yeah. Let's take 50 and divide it by 1,000. Whoops. 1,000 and divide it, because we're talking about a millennium, right? And divide it by 50. Equals 20. That's why I said Satan was going to be in he was going to be in chains for 20 jubilees, right? So we got 20 here. So you see how this just adding up? It just adding up and add up like it's supposed to be, right? So you take that and you multiply it by 6 because now we got, this is 1,000 years here. So you say 6, that'll bring us to us, which is Adam. So you say times 6 equals 120. See the Israelite? Do you see the 12? Do you see that 6? Do you see that 360 again? 12 months? See it again? See that right there? There it is. 12 months, 12 tribes. He set the boundaries of man by 12 tribes. There we go, 360 right there. 12 o'clock, you see? 12 o'clock. 12 to 12, 360. It's impossible to think the earth is flat because everything is testifying against you. So you say, how many jubilees is from us now? Because you got to count these in because this is from the first day to Adam. So now we count times 2, right? Because he said 6 days for us to work, and then we're going to enter to the end here, right? 24. Here comes the end of time. When? 24. When is the perfect day? What's the perfect day? Exactly 24 hours. You mean to tell me this is a goof? You mean to tell me that keeping the feast according to Abib, 180 days, is wrong according to this? 24. All is testifying of itself. What this got to do with the Pentecost, we just seen that. Because we're dealing with the Pentecost right now, and we're dealing with the Jubilee. Let's look at that. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai. We're done with that conversation, right? No wonder he's having this conversation that's on fire. Excuse me. I wish I had some cheese if I got started here. Excuse me. Let me get some juice. Oh, ooh. Yeah. There we go. Got tea. Okay, so now we got 24, which bring us to what? You got 24 jubilees, which bring us to what? First resurrection. Remember, the trumpet is blown on the seventh trump, 240 jubilees from the day that he said that there be light. Are you kidding? When you drop that zero, because zero is nothing, that brings you to this, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse, Okay. Proverbs chapter 4:18. It says this, but the path of the just as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. Well, there it is, 24. That's it. That's the Jubilee. Right there, the perfect day. That's when God brings immortality and with in time, everything just come together, like boom. It's like everything lit up. It's like right here, it's in Zechariah. He did it there. This is the Jubilee. Zechariah 14 and verse, let's see, 14 and verse 5. And it says, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountain, as for the valley of the mountain shall reach on a star. Yea, you shall flee like as you said from before the great earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. See, the first resurrection took place. They woke up, and it shall come to pass in that day, the perfect day, this is the Jubilee, that light shall not be clear nor dark, because there's no sun and no moon. So what is this he's bringing eternity? There it is. This is the Jubilee. It's the perfect day. This is it. Whatever this is, right here in 6, he called it the perfect day. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, night, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Go figure. There it is. Yeah, so this is that day. This is the Jubilee, people. This is what we just got to count. 240 Jubilees will get us here. Why do we count it like that? Why are we counting 50 years? What do that mean to us? Well, let's go to Leviticus chapter 25. And what that got to do with the Pentecost and the memorial blowing of trumpets and the atonement? Are you kidding me? Leviticus 25:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Mount Sinai, I said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, there should be shepherds there. Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. So it's about the earth. And he says, in 6 years thou shalt sow thy fields. The 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyards and gather in the fruit thereof. But the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. I will take. Aside from the weekly Sabbath he give you off and the holy days that he give you off, then every 6 years you get a whole year off. That's utopia. I take that. Anyway, that which is sown of his own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest. See? Now we counting years. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourn with thee, and for thy cattle, for thy beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. They all, and watch this, here comes conjunction, right? Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. In the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th, what, Day of Atonement, Day of the Jubilee, Day of the Memorial, blowing of the trumpets. In the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall holler the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land, or to all the habitations thereof. It shall be a jubilee. Look, ain't nobody working. After the Lord destroyed this planet, everybody's going to sit still and learn about God. It's going to be a whole year of Sabbath day. It's going to be a crash course of learning about him. You're a whole year, nothing else but the truth of God. That's it. It's going to be a Sabbath day. You know, working. Everybody going to be, he said, I want you to feel what it's supposed to feel like when you're serving me. No working for a year. Some of us are doing that through COVID. Anyway, a jubilee shall it said, a jubilee shall the 50th year be on you, and you shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of the vine undressed. See, so this is that thing in the 50th year. That's why we took the numbers in Revelation chapter 11 to come down to this, because you got a number the 50 years for it to become, so it can get to the end of time. This is why the atonement, this is where the atonement come in on this. In the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, you shall make a sound, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. They're going to be one way of blowing the trumpet. Now, watch this, okay? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 11. And it says this. Let's pick it up. It says, verse 2, but the court which is without the temple Levi, measure it not, but is given unto the Gentiles in the holy city, so they tread on the foot for 8 months. And it was given unto my two witnesses that they should prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Standing before God of the earth. So this is them. So I'm picking up at 7. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So this is going to be over in Jerusalem. This is going to go down over there, right? This is why people say, well, they shouldn't have went back in 1960. Well, they have to go back because of this conversation. Somebody's got to be there. Somebody like us got to be there to testify for God in the great city where the Lord was slain. Anyway, he said, they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, see? And it says, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in the grave. So wait a minute. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. See? Sending gifts one to another because of these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Wait a minute. How is it that the whole earth is going to rejoice at one time? How is the whole earth is going to know that they got killed at once? Well, you're holding it in your hand. See, I told you we're in the last few years. We'll know everything that's going on our phones, God, you know, in an instant. That's how they're going to rejoice. Those of us that's going to be in the system, because not everybody's going to have one of these. But if you're in the system, remember, you're in the world, then you'll be able to see the prophets die. We'll be hopefully in the wilderness. Or on a run, and you definitely will hide this on a run. You'll be back to that Underground Railroad. Oh, it's only running. Yeah, it's only cracking. That's that thing. It'll be the new underground railroad. And it just won't be Israel running this time. It's going to be them Gentiles and them. Everybody's going to be on the go trying to get there. Anybody that he called, because Chesedek Priesthood, remember now I said, nation, tongues, and people. The Melchizedek Priesthood isn't about lineage. It's about righteousness. He's the king of righteousness and peace. If you don't have peace in your heart and you're constantly sowing the sword, he's not your king. Can't claim him. Action speaks louder than words. And it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, unto them, come up hither. See, didn't he call Moses? There it is. And the people heard the same voice that called Moses to come up, right? There it is. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. There go Moses. Remember now, he descended in a cloud. They ascended up in a cloud. The trumpet was sounding louder and louder, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake. The 10th part of the city fell. The earthquake was slain man 7,000. See, remember now when the Lord hit the earth in Zacharias, there was a great earthquake with the saints, right? And the remnant was affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Why? Because remember that when the trumpet sounded long, the people started trembling. Second one was passing. Behold, a third one comes quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there it is. There go the Jubilee. There go the Atonement. There go the memorial blowing of the trumpet. And there go the Pentecost right there. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven. This is the end of time. Watch this. This is where immortality and time meet. That's why it's going to be like no other day, because there would not be a day like this. That's why the sun and the moon got to be put out, because the sun and the moon wasn't there when he created this time, which is eternity. So it has to be out. The seventh angel sounded, there was a great voice in heaven, said, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The 420 elders that sat before God on their seat fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Yeah. And when you talk about power, because remember that in 2 Death don't get this power. He said, this great power is the same power that gave the power to the sun to be lit. That's the kind of power he talking about. You know, that lit volcanoes. That kind of power, you know, that you can't put out. That water can't do nothing with it. Can't live on it. Can't do nothing with it. Just turned into it. It says this, nations were angry and thy wrath has come. Remember now, when that trumpet is blown, his wrath has come, right? The time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou should give them a reward to thy servants, the prophets, and the saints, and then that fear thy name, small and great, and thou should destroy them that destroy the earth. There it is. So now you see the reward. Now here comes God. All this is taking place on the Jubilee. And he said for it to be sound on the trumpet, right? Why? Because on the atonement. Why? Because the atonement, if you're supposed to be fasting and praying, man, like you was on the Passover, you know, when he was coming through Egypt, you're supposed to be the same way on the atonement. Watch this. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And he said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came on him privately saying, tell us, so what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? See, why are they on the Mount of Olives saying that that's where he's going to split in half at the end of the world, right? And his coming, right? And why are they talking to him privately? Like this is, like everybody's going to know this. This information is this. You know, carte blanche. Everybody just in on it. No, it's not. It's not for everybody. It's not even for everybody who hear it, let alone even get it. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. That includes myself, that I don't deceive myself. I could trust myself. Trust me. I could no trust back. I could definitely trust myself onto some foolishness. Right? Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many shall come in Yahweh? No, that's not the name of this book. Yahushua? What? Nope, that ain't the name of this book. Don't come in Jesus' name. That's where the power is at, because they'll be doing all types of signs and wonders. What people would do any signs and wonders in the name of anything else other than the name of Jesus? That's a witness to itself. People just trying to be different. Like they own something. No, you ain't own nothing. In fact, you blaspheme. That's the end of your story. You're blaspheming. You're adding things to the word of God, and you're going to be cursing. So, have that. Because that's where you want to die and end up in the lake of fire, because you want to willfully blaspheme the truth, then have at it. That's what we do, right? Yeah, anyway, so he said, as many shall come in my name, do that in there, because I'm a Jesus freak. He said, immediately after the tribulation of the days, of those days, right, of those days, the end of 3.5 years, 1260, okay, hold up, let's bring it in, let's bring it in. What do you mean tribulation, right? Let's bag it up, let's bag it up. Okay, that's the time window. All right. Verse 15. When you shall see the abomination of desolation that is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Who shall read it to let him understand? All right. What is this talking about? Let's go to Daniel. If you got one of them New Testament Bibles, now you know to get rid of. Okay. Daniel chapter 12. And it says this. He said, and go that way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time, or the Jubilee, right? Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, see? But the wise shall understand. From that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh death is set up. That's remember that Jesus said, when you see him flee, right? When you see him set up, there should be 1,290 days. Remember now, break your calculators back out here. Because you're going to do this. You're going to take that 1260, right? And we were reading in Revelation chapter 11. And then you're going to take, subtracted by 1290, that'll give you 30 days. So Daniel and Jesus and John is all testifying that a month is 30 days. Times 6 give you 180. So now the Jubilee is testifying that a month of God is 30 days. Times, well, let's take 30. Times 12, 360. There it is. Right? Now, take that from Daniel. Because the book said he's greatly beloved. You don't hear that talked about. You know, God just don't say that to anybody. He don't just say that to anybody. He said, thou art greatly beloved. And I can see that, man, because he walked through fire for him. Anyway, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Let's pick it up at that 15. We're almost out of this. 24:15, because remember now, where did atonement come in at? Where is the atonement? Where is the atonement? Okay. Matthew 24. And let's pick it back up at that 15 again, because we bring in the tribulation period. We got that. He said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which is on the housetops come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and warning him that are with child to them that give suck in those days. Why? Because a child will give you up if it's home. So pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Well, if we would have kept reading that day, you would have told you why. But then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. See, this is going to be the end of time, the Jubilee. Once again, yeah, I'm driving that home. Now, here it is. Here we come. Because remember now, it's going to be a day like none other. He said, and after, it's immediately 24:29. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. So you see here, the sun is dark, the moon is dark, we're back to day one. Every first day, we're back to that, right? This is day one, like in the beginning. That was the Jubilee. Anyway, so here we are. So there's no sun, no moon, so there was that perfect day that we're talking about. This just so happened to take place on the atonement. Why the atonement? He said, then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, like we've seen Moses seen him, right, coming down. All the tribes of the earth, Israel saw him, start crying and running, right? And it shall see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, like Israel did in Exodus 19, and we read that, and the trumpet was blowing, right, louder and louder. And they shall see the Son, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they shall, and he shall send his angel with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his neck from the four winds, even one end of heaven to the other, from north, south, east, and west. Right? And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. The seventh trump. That's when you're going to get that body and all that type of stuff at the end of time, which this will happen to be on the atonement. So it only makes sense because you'll be fasting and praying that God don't take your life anyway, because this is his appearing. And he said this, he said, now learn the parable of the fig tree when the branch, this is Isaiah 34 here. Go read that. It says, now learn the parable of the fig tree when the branches get tender and put forth the leaves, then you notice the end of the world. You read Isaiah 34. It says, you shall know that some is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That's why I say we're in the last Jubilee, before all things has changed. I ain't saying what day it is. I just know we're within them 50 years. Anyway, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of man be. But as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and you're supposed to be fat. That's why he said it's going to be on atonement. And they eating and drinking, marrying, they having sex on the atonement. Yeah. And giving in marriage until the day of Noah they entered to the ark and knew not that the until the flood came and he took them all away, so shall also the coming of man shall be. There it is. Every atonement. Remember that, he said, and the Lord descended on fire, right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 15. So behold, the Lord will come with fire, there it is, like he did in Exodus chapter 19, with his chariot like a whirlwind, and tornado on fire, The rest of his anger was fury. He ain't patting nobody. He's not trying to save anybody or deliver anybody at this point. He is taking care of business. With the rebuke with flames of fire, for by fire and by his sword with the Lord flee, will all flesh and won't be a nation, a kindred, or nobody without one day. Every family on the planet is going to suffer losses. Every nation on the planet is going to suffer losses. Every last family on the earth. I ain't talking about like households. I'm talking about communities. It's going to suffer losses, just like in the days of Egypt. They're just not going to be one day in a month. He's going to wipe out. But it's going to be way more than that. He said, they just sanctify themselves. At least here, he ain't even got to be the firstborn. He just, you wicked, you out. That's it. At least you had to be the firstborn in Egypt. And if you were the firstborn, you better found you some blood. You were good. But this ain't no out but the water. And that's now. 16. But by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slander of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in a garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. See, they're eating on the atonement unclean things, and God will catch it in their mouth. See that? That's on the atonement. That. See, you blow that trumpet on the atonement. That seventh trump on the atonement. If you fast and pray, you ain't got this conversation. If you fast and pray on the atonement, you not, you know you ain't eating nothing like this. Ain't no way in the world you ain't eating nothing like this. Yeah, people ate rats. People still eat rats. If you eat a squirrel, you're eating a rat. Shut up. That's it. That's what it is. The rat. And abomination, dogs, pretty cats, horses, or whatever flowing through the sea, you know, eels, snakes, frogs, whatever, you know. This is on the atonement. He said, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. But he said, with fire, right? Let's go back to that Zechariah. Remember, he said, it's going to be a day like none other. So let's pick that up in, let's pick it up in one. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. See, they're going to jubilee, the day of the Lord. That's it, the perfect day. The day of the Lord cometh, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. People, the day of the Lord is established. It's called a jubilee. This is it. This is the jubilee. This is it. Amen. This is the last verse. We'll go wrap it up here. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and no, it's not. It says, and the day of the Lord shall cometh, and shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. For the city shall be taken, and the houses, okay, we'll skip down to verse, keep reading. It says, and the women ravished, the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Remember, he was having that conversation with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, right? And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst of, he was there with the saints. He's talking about the end of the world, but this is the end of the world. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst of toward the east and toward, well, if it's the end of the world, it's the end of time too. Well, there you have it, right? Because this world can't exist. This time can't exist. Everything going to be, he going to set the clock straight. Right? Well, there the week it is, everything is going to be set straight. Won't be no more foolishness. All the Sabbaths, everybody going to be on the same time. No more foolishness. There should be a very great valley. Half of the mountain should be moved to the north and half toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach on Azar. Yea, you shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that light shall be clear and nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall come to be known shall be known to the Lord night day nor night. And it shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. This is that, he's still talking about the Jubilee. Now watch this. It's saying, it shall come, and it shall be in that day, living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards Pharmacy, and half of them towards the Hennessy, in the summer and the winter shall it be. See, the summer and the winter feast is brought together. Oh, God, he just said it again, right? Because the women have the Feast of Weeks. It's here. That's the summer. The trumpets is winter. Okay. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall be one Lord and his name one. All the land shall be turned as plain from Geba to Ramah, south of Jerusalem, and shall be lifted up, and the inhabitants in her place, from Benjamin Gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wife. And the man shall dwell in it, and there shall no more be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. All right, this is after that. And then it goes on. Now, he's telling us what he women I will fire, and by his sword the Lord plead with all flesh. By fire. By fire will the Lord plead with all flesh. This shall be the plan wherewith the Lord will smite the people that are fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and the eyes shall consume away, and the holes in their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every man of his neighbor. That's Revelation chapter 16 and 8. Talking about the seal. Here he got. He says, his hand shall rise up against his neighbor, against the hand of his neighbor. Judah shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathens round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, apparel, no money. He didn't say that. He just said gold and silver in great abundance. And so shall be the plan of the horse, the mule, the camel, the ass. All the beasts shall be in the tent as the plan. You don't kill dogs, cats, whatever you. Whatever hate God, he gonna kill. If he was a child brought up to hate God, he's gonna kill you too. It's not gonna make any difference. I'm not sugarcoating that. You gonna get it. Gotta stop. You know, at this time, he ain't have the mercy on nothing. It's a wrap. You know, because people have attitudes. He killed my mom. He's like, okay, we gotta kill you too. So instead of having to do it later, just do it now. Right here, I should say. And it says this. And it shall come to pass that everyone is left of the nation of 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. What? The Feast of Tabernacles? Why the Feast of Tabernacles? Go back to Leviticus chapter 23. 23 and 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the 10th day of the 7th month, this is when that trumpet is going to be blown, there should be a day of atonement. That's what he's talking about. The day of atonement is the Jubilee, which is the 50th year or the end of a millennium right here. So you're supposed to be fasting and praying here. And it says this, and the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of atonement. The Lord is going to make an atonement on this planet, y'all. I mean, man is going to be off. And it should be a holy convocation on you. Yep, you should afflict your souls, offering an offering made by fire on it. Why? Because you're hungry. That's your burnt offering. And you shall do no work in that same day for you, the day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before your God. For whatsoever soul it be, that... For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. See, that's why he was talking about, you know, giving in marriage in the days of Noah, because he said, I'm going to destroy all the people. They eating and drinking. And he said, you got to have your servants working. Giving in marriage and all that stuff, we really talking about doing it big, right? He said, you should do any manner of work. It shall be the Sabbath for rest. You shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the seventh month and evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. That's why when you see, you read the Lord, in that day the Lord is going to fight for you. It's going to be on the atonement. And then he said, and everybody from the whole world is going to come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There it is. See that? So how are we going to miss out on the wave offering? You can't miss the wave off, because the wave off can kick all this off. Kick it all off. But we just kicked it off at the Pentecost but it was almost like, how can I not mention the wave off? And so I should have titled it the wave off of the Pentecost. The memorial blowing of the trumpets and the atonement are all one. That's what I should have called it, but this is this day. So, there it is. So we want to thank everybody, look, for your time. Amen. Those of you that rode us the ride, hey, God bless you. And, oh my goodness, wait a minute. Yeah, let me see. And we hope and pray that God willing we live. Any questions or comments? Mic's open.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom, man. Sabbath is tomorrow night.
Yeah, I please give me, brother. I had a little bit of complications. I had a couple of complications. But, you know, shalom to the family. Hey, that's an excellent lesson, and you know it does explain. It explains a lot. I'm just saying it's even too much for a mind to even comprehend, because it takes a long time. You know, if it took Moses 40 years to learn the book, and he was 80, we got a long way to go. You know, and I just want to say that was a beautiful lesson that the Lord put on your heart, and that Lord willing, other people were able to take heed of the understanding of what the Lord was putting on a person's heart. So I think it was a great lesson. Grace and peace to you and the family and to those listening in. With that, I close.
Amen. Well, amen. That's from God. hey, it is just thank God, man. That he allows us to see some of these things that belong to him. Like I said, man, and a lot of this stuff is not carte blanche. It's not for everybody. And even if you hear it, you know, don't mean that you get it. So, you know, I'm there too. You know, I just really came down to, you know, that, you know, the Most High is merciful and allowing us to see whatever he allows us to see. And I'm just thankful for that. So, amen, man. All praise to the Most High God, Israel, and the name of Jesus Christ. I say you so.
Amen.
Amen. So, amen, we're going to wrap it up, man. We'll be back here tomorrow evening. You know, we're going to deal with that Sabbath day precept coming up, man, something, man. You know, we can talk about the Father and rejoice in him, and then the Sabbath day, we're still in the creation. I have to apologize, because I skipped over something. So I'm going to have to go revisit. And I really skipped over a very, very important. I got to go back and revisit that. So I have to apologize for that. But that's the Sabbath day at 10 o'clock, right? A.M., I'm going to be there for that. So, hey, that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone, as we say here, the living waters. Read your Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Read your Bibles. Grace and peace. Much love. Love y'all.
Amen. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.